Hey everyone, and welcome to You Are Free Radio. I am so glad to be here with you today. This is the first show on You Are Free Radio that is being designed specifically for today only for You Are Free Radio. And it is an amazing interview with John DeRash of the National Liberty Alliance. I'm going to start out just talking a bit about what's going on with the bold and very, very dangerous election stealing in this country, the absolute coup that is going on against our willfully, duly elected president, President Trump, and most importantly, what is going on with these elections right now. Now, as we jump in here, I'm going to just first say thank you to steampunkradio.com for hosting this show. And folks, it's an absolute volunteer-run operation, steampunkradio.com. So if you like the show and you want to support the people that make it happen, you can go to patreon.com/steampunkradio. And that will be steam with two E's, S-T-E-E-M, punk radio. All right, folks. So here we go. What are the issues? The major issues are that literally they're stealing the elections through this recount that they already tried to steal straight off. All right, but then we had, luckily, enough patriots in place to stop a lot of the cyber hacking, a lot of the control of these Smartmatic and Diebold machines that count the votes, right? And unfortunately, they were able to contest the votes in especially Florida and Arizona, and of course there is now in Georgia, we're having a federal judge saying that he's going to overturn the election results. And of course, Broward County, we have complete and total criminality going on there. This should be absolutely an outrage to every single American citizen. And of course, then in Arizona, where it is 80% mail-in votes, okay, what they call vote by mail, is how they do 80% of the voting in Arizona. And we know because of great people like Bev Harris over at blackboxvoting.org, she reported yesterday that, for one, her whole website has been taken down. She is literally a watchdog. Blackboxvoting.org is a watchdog for election fraud. And her whole website was attacked and taken down yesterday in the midst of all this controversy. Now, folks, this is absolute racketeering and criminality to have our free speech being blocked at a time to do with our elections. You can't get more basic to the running of our country or more basic to the criminality and traitorous and treasonous behavior against the country than what's happening here. So basically, what Bev Harris had to say is that with 80% vote by mail in Arizona, one of the ways they've been able to, they're trying to steal this voting situation is they set the software, okay, for the machines that count the ballots as they come in. All right, they set it so that they use a signature verification. And what they can do is they can set the tolerance of the likeliness of the signature to match to different levels for different candidates. Okay, so if you are voting for the candidate they don't want to win, they'll have a very strict signature recognition. Okay, and if your signature isn't exactly like it was in your when you registered to vote, they will just discard that as an unacceptable ballot. Okay, and then of course if you vote for the candidate they want to win, then they will accept anything just down to a scrawl. Doesn't have to match the signature at all. Now, this is very important in states that have mostly mail-in voting. So these are the kind of things that they do, folks. And of course, in other shows, I have talked all about how Mike McKibben has been so amazing getting out the research to do with Joe Sullivan, who leads Cloudflare, who has, of course, been in charge of the third-party encryption keys for Florida and Ohio, both swing states. And that it's so important what's going on in Florida right now, because the absolute criminality, having a gun pulled on a congressperson, Matt Gaetz, okay, the other day when he goes to witness the recount and being told that he is not allowed to witness the recount, okay, as an elected congressperson, all right, and being having a gun pointed at him by a highway patrol person who doesn't even know who he is. Okay, this is the kind of behavior in, you know, Coward Broward, you know, I'm just going to call it Grand Theft Election, right? That's what we should just call that place, Grand Theft Election, because Brenda Snipes should be literally citizens arrested. Somebody needs to go in there and escort that woman to a holding area until a jury can, grand jury can meet and have her crimes put before a common law jury. Right. And so that's what we're going to learn about in this wonderful interview with John Darash of National Liberty Alliance. It is now more important than ever that we understand how corruption on the local level is what leads to the mass corruption. They are able to do this in Broward County because they get all the corrupt people so interwoven with each other that then you have it reach into Washington and it's a pay for play back and forth situation. And that's why they're able to do it in Arizona. It's always these deep state pockets, okay? This is, you know, the John McCain state. This is another super corrupt state. And of course, Georgia is having its own massive problems around all of this. These are deep state areas, folks. And so as we watch this unravel, we should be enraged, but also hopeful, because we do have President Trump's amazing executive order that he passed, okay, on October 12th, saying that he was going to prosecute to the full extent of the law anybody engaged in election fraud. And we already know that they already knew that the election fraud was going to happen, was happening, was in place. Okay, I alluded to yesterday in my video on You Are Free TV on YouTube, which is where you can find the most of my content, the election fraud in 2016 had very much to do with the Department of Homeland Security. Now, I don't think it's any coincidence that we're now seeing Kirstjen Nielsen about to be fired from the Department from being the secretary, the director of the Department of Homeland Security. Now, back when we had Mike Chertoff, as director of Homeland Security, we had all kinds of election fraud entered into at that time as well. And of course, now Mike Chertoff is very closely related to a lot of this election fraud that's going on now to do with the software involved, the encryption keys, the managing of the software programs. So this is all very, very important for us to understand that what is presented to us as our powers to vote is being completely and utterly manipulated in every possible way. But it does look like President Trump is going to prosecute these people, but I think he's letting them just, you know, stretch that rope further and further to hang themselves even higher and higher, because there's no way they're going to be able to get out of this, and we the people should not accept it. So we're going to hear from John Darash, who is the co-founder of National Liberty Alliance, very shortly, break down to us what it was supposed to be like, what it has ended up being like, and what we can do, how important it is to get involved on the local level. You know, I listened to a wonderful interview with Katie Hopkins, between Katie Hopkins and Alex Jones yesterday, I believe, and she was talking about how in her country, how she watched the rule of law be completely thwarted and taken over and dumped and absolutely scrapped, and how the new EU super state that they're trying to create was allowed to basically stomp on all of the former laws in England. And we need to understand that's exactly what they're trying to do to the USA right now, the exact same thing. Now, while the EU goes ahead planning to begin its own army to become a super state, okay, to compete in a very large way against the United States as one central country, basically, it's going to become one country. That's what they're trying to do, even though there are so many countries fighting back, such as Italy and England, the people trying to push Brexit through. Katie was talking about how the use of forced immigration upon these countries was so, how it went from a humanitarian touted cause to then becoming something that we have in Belgium now, where there is a party, the Party of Islam, a political party. Now, we know Islam is a political movement. And, of course, what they're wanting in this political party of Islam in Belgium is, of course, for all women, every woman, to wear hijabs. And, of course, the prayers to be recited everywhere throughout the country. And the list goes on from there. And, of course, we in this country just had what used to be illegal. We just had two Congress people elected, two Muslim women elected in Minnesota and Michigan. Of course, not the first ones, but now they're in areas where there's a large Muslim populations. And what Katie Hopkins wanted to point out was that that what we see in Europe now is what is starting here, is starting to take hold in bigger and bigger ways. And folks, you know, this is nothing against individual Muslim people. It is very much a statement against the Party of Islam wanting to spread its oppressive culture and politically in this nation, where it used to be illegal to be Muslim and in office because of the notion of the caliphate and the notion of that it is legal within the culture of Islam, within the notion of the caliphate, to publicly lie in order to get to this this period down the road where you will have enough power where then you can openly say what it is you're really going to do. Now, these two people that were elected in Minnesota and Michigan are both pro female genital mutilation, pro all of the tenets of Islam that are oppressive to women and children, and that are antithetical to our American values. So this is very important that we see now what it means to have the caravan at the border. This is exactly what they did in Europe. Okay, what it means to have people moving into office that are Muslim in areas of large Muslim refugee populations such as Michigan and Minnesota, and to really understand the beginning stages of what can happen down the road. And you just look at Europe and you see what has happened there. Now, coming back to the notion of what it means to fight this election fraud, we need to get involved in our local areas. National Liberty Alliance can give you that education. They have free courses, but they have active involvement to get you active in your county, okay? And also they're starting a course, I think tomorrow they're launching it, called Government by Consent. And this course is going to teach everybody about constitutional and common law in this country and show how it was stolen, literally stolen, okay, by the Bar Association, by this fake admiralty law that is governing this country illegally right now. And what we can do about it, how we can fight the corruption, how we can stop things like this atrocious travesty, criminality going on in Broward County, and what we do about the people that are guilty of this treason and traitorous behavior. So I think I'll leave it for there. Yesterday we did have William Mount coming out on his channel, is the William Mount YouTube channel, talking about that he, as a former ambassador and from the Department of Defense, made calls to every single possible public official he could in Florida to find out why people are not being charged or arrested for the criminality going on there, for the privacy of the recount, the complete lack of transparency, the complete fraud, the just absolute fraudulent behavior. The holding of a congressman at gunpoint for attempting to enter an area to observe what is going on with the recount. All of this is so important for us to understand. So, without further ado, folks, we're going to jump in to welcome John Darash of National Liberty Alliance to the show. And just a reminder, you are listening to You Are Free Radio. If you like what you're listening to, you can go to donate to the channel at patreon.com/youarefreeTV. Okay, and that is the main content area where you can find my work at You Are Free TV on YouTube. And folks, it's so good to be here on Steampunk Radio, steampunkradio.com. And here we go. So, jumping in with John Durash of National Liberty Alliance.
Hey everybody, and welcome again to You Are Free Radio. We are here with John Durash, the co-founder of National Liberty Alliance, the amazing group that is working to educate Americans about the fact of that we are the ones in charge of our government, in charge of our legal system with common law and constitutional education. So thanks, John, for joining us today. We are needing your guidance and leadership here while we're dealing with a major, pretty much an election stealing situation here in the midterm. So welcome.
Thanks for having us.
Awesome. Well, I'd like to pretty much, if you didn't mind, starting out with talking about, I don't know, at least your comments on what's going on now in Broward County in Florida. We have massive fraud there recorded over quite a bit of time here now, over years, and now it's happening again, and now they're saying they're going to let the count happen until November 20th. It's so illegal, it boggles the mind. Mm-hmm. Could we start there?
Sure. You know, we listened to a couple of different individuals, and I know one of the individuals we listened to is X-22 report, and yeah. And he brought up the point that why disturb or bother the enemy while they're busy destroying themselves? They mentioned the fact, and they put out the warning before the election that they're going to be watching closely, and they're going to, you know, put forward the full weight of the law upon anyone who breaks it. And so I think they're just letting them go and allowing all of the minions or these, criminals to do all their activity, record it, and have them arrested. I think that's where we're heading with
this. Is that your feeling? Oh, I'm hoping so, because I've been a super supporter of, we have the executive order from October 12th. The full extent of the law going to be weighed against election fraud, and thank goodness, right?
I also heard that there was numerous machines, I believe a couple of dozen machines that prior to the election were inspected by some group through this administration and found already votes on it already, and that that was in the beginning, so they already know what's going on. I think, and they were expecting a big wave, the big blue wave. And I think what happened is we prevented a lot of the votes from going through from the beginning, the votes that aren't real. We do know that a lot of dead people voted. We know a lot of people who are not legal citizens voted. And so also there was a big, really a red wave. And so they thought they were going to win by large numbers, and they didn't, as far as, the voting is concerned, numbers of votes. And I think a lot of it was prevented. But I think by going back, this is opening a door for us to visit a lot of things. Also, we're hearing that potentially the indictments are going to be unsealed this month. We know a lot of people in both parties, Republican and Democratic parties, didn't run for office again because they're probably going to be arrested. And maybe, a lot of people that are already in power are going to be arrested, and that's going to, change the numbers of the House and everything. But the key thing, of course, is controlling the Senate.
It is, and I think you're right. I think that the House is not an issue because of the fact that the criminality is being absolutely underway. I mean, thank goodness for this interim AG with, Matt Whitaker, and who knows what's coming. But I wanted to mention today, I did listen to an interview with Bev Harris, who is of blackboxvoting.org, and she talked about the fact that with mail-in ballots, especially like in Arizona and one of the contested areas, that with mail-in ballots, they're able to use the software to reject ballots based on signature, that they have the original signature of the person who signed up to register to vote, and they can set that according to voter. You know, if they want a certain person to win, they can turn that side into that you can do a scribble as a signature, right, and be acknowledged and accepted as a vote. And if they, this is how they run the ballots through this software as they are, they come in through the mail. They all are recorded through this software. And basically that if whoever they don't want to win, that they'll have a really stringent, must be the exact signature of the voter as registered, and who they don't want to win, I mean, who they do want to win can be basically a scribble and be accepted as a valid ballot. Right. I mean, that's just one small example of, you know, the online voter fraud, even though we know, I mean, what I mean is digital voter fraud. Even though you think you're sending in a ballot that you filled out and mailed in, it is getting recorded through software digitally. And this is what, you know, a lot of people maybe don't even understand right. on that level.
Well, that is so the problem. It's that's
the most important thing is that we're dealing with local corruption that is filling a national corruption to do with a deep state situation that is about stealing elections, corrupting elections, and we're watching it happening in real time in Florida right now. And so just jump in here with what's real.
The whole thing is all about secret counting. Any, if you can't watch the count, you can't trust the vote. You know, anything coming through machines are easily manipulated. You can write the software to do anything, as you were explaining. So that's a very dangerous thing. We've seen this in the committeemen meeting, and those are the people who choose the people who go on to the ballot. We've seen they've taken control of that process. It's a top-down process. It's really controlled ultimately by the powers that be.
I'm going to jump in. John, I want to jump in because I'm going to jump in here because people don't even know what committee man means
right.
and don't understand that it's become a top-down process. Tell right. us how it was supposed to be. Committee man, what does it mean? And that is the foundational way that our elections were supposed to happen. Tell us about that
right.
and how it's not happening now.
Well, I found out about the committeemen in about 2007, 2008. I heard an individual speaking up in Albany, and he was talking about challenging the vote, and he was speaking about this committeeman process, and so I was very interested in that, and he was very had a lot of great things to say, and the control of these people, that is really one of the most powerful offices that you can hold, because we get to decide, the committeemen are the people who are elected within their own election district. Okay, each election district has a committeeman. For instance, my county has 249 election districts, so we have 249 committeemen, each one representing their local, the electors within their election district. And so they get together and they interview. They'll have people coming in and they'll interview people within each of the subdivisions. You know, if it's people running for a local office, you know, those people will come together, whatever election district is affected, or if people are running for Congress, they'll get together in a congressional meeting, and they'll interview the people and decide whether they want to put them on the ballot. Now, the whole thing
is
fixed.
Can I ask a question here?
Yeah.
And I get you, that last comment, the whole thing is fixed.
Yeah.
So you're saying basically that there is something called a committeeman that is supposed to exist in all of our elections where people going on the ballot are interviewed by these people. And I'd love to hear the credentialing, how these people become committeemen. Mm-hmm. And the fact that this is a constitutional thing that is supposed to happen in our elections. And you're saying that you learned about it. It's happening in some places, But now you just said the whole thing is fixed and it's become a top-down thing. Nobody is educated about this at all.
Right.
I don't think I even learned, and I'm one of, you know, of a generation that we still were educated about electoral politics in school. They don't even have that now. And so nobody knows that these committeemen even exist. What is it? Tell us
right.
what it is.
Well, and by the way, Gerard has joined us on the phone.
Hi, Gerard.
Hey.
So glad to have you here on UR Free Radio.
Yeah, it's
welcome
good
back.
To be here. Yeah.
Awesome.
All right. Yeah. Well, you know, look at this is the way our nation came to be was all put together by what's called the Committees of Safety. I'm not sure of the history prior to our nation, but I do know our nation used that process in order to come together as a people. Elect certain individuals to take certain positions, eventually the Continental Congress, and there was 10 presidents prior to the first president of the United States, but we weren't in the United States yet, but nevertheless, every year was a new individual chosen as president as we fought the Revolutionary War. So all of our founding fathers, all 56 signers of the Declaration of Independence, all the signers of the Constitution, all of the people involved belonged to what was called the Committee of Safety. And now the Committee of Safety, once our nation was created in 1789, the Constitution took effect and George Washington became the first president. Once that happened, the committees became what's called the committee men, and they took control of the political process, the election process. You see, the government is not supposed to be controlling that. That's supposed to be controlling by the people who are non-political, who are supposed to be non-political, and they're supposed to, it's not a paid position. It's a position that maybe you put 40, 50 hours a year into it. Most of that time is around the election time when you come together and choose, an individual that you want for this office or that office. And George Washington spoke in great detail about this when he left office. As a matter of fact, at least two-thirds of his farewell speech was focused in on the committeeman. And if you didn't know that, you may not have realized that, because he talked about the corruption. And Thomas Jefferson spoke about the issue, and all of our founding fathers spoke about this also, you know, Benjamin Franklin, Adams, Washington. But Jefferson put it the best: if the people expect to be ignorant and free, they expect what never was and never will be. And if we don't have an educated people, we can't have a free government. We can't really have true liberty. We can't have a government that functions under the law the way it was meant to be. How can a person make a good choice on a statesman and ask them questions concerning our founding documents if they themselves don't know the founding documents? So right there begins the problem. It begins with us. It's our fault that we are where we're at.
Did JC leave my key in the toolbox?
It's our fault. You might want to mute yourself,
Gerard. Gerard, you're
Sorry about that.
That's funny. No worries. A good segue. Key in the toolbox. I love it. We need more teeth on the key. That's one of my mottos. I think that what you're saying is so important, John. That you know, people don't have an education and literally do not. Like, it has been Common Core out. There's no education about civics anymore. Mm-hmm. In our American public schools, it's horrendous. It's awful, with the specific intention of making it impossible for people to be informed about their rights, their duties, literally their duties, because this is a republic. We're intentionally supposed to be responsible for our local governments specifically. And as we watch what's going on in somewhere like Broward County, Florida, and we see this intense criminality that has gone on for years and years and years there, using the same players over and over, where people should have been able to stop this with their participation, I think that's key. And what I'm hoping people can get out of this is, you know, how their participation can stop the corruption going on in their local governments. And that's what you are so intent on putting forth with the National Liberty Alliance is getting people active in every county in the United States of America to be a representative.
Well, that's so, correct. And, you know, when we get down into the counting of the votes, you know, we did a, I'm not sure how many of your listeners or yourself knows about the Continental Congress that came to be back at about, I think it was 2008, if I recall it, and 2009 is when they served upon, you know, every state government, both houses and the governor, and also the U.S. Government, you know, the existing administration at the time, and also both houses, the results of the Continental Congress. And it was a 63-page, you know, order to our servant government and to correct all their errors and to require them to get back under the Constitution. In any event, in order to bring that together, the Continental Congress together, we had to have voting across the nation. I ran a voting place here in up in Poughkeepsie, New York.
Very
and,
easy.
And what in that you process, your mic's open, Gerard.
Yeah, I'm talking.
Oh, wait,
oh,
because
I'm sorry.
Yours was muted, John, for the last... yeah, sorry, he started talking, John, because you became muted there. I don't know why.
Oh.
So here we are.
Let me just finish my thought, John, and you can pick back up. Anybody can run for committee man in their electorate district by walking around and getting signatures from the party that they decide to run for in their election district. And you only need 5% of the voters to sign your petition. And then and if nobody else walks in that district and gets 5% of the vote, then you're deemed elected at the primary. If somebody else walks in that same district, they have to put you on the ballot. You see, there's
for the
no
general
reason,
election. Yeah.
For the right. But during the primary, when you're primarying, you walk and you get 5%. If somebody else walks the same district and gets 5% of the signatures also, then you two have to run off at the primary election, and that determines who the committee man is, whoever gets more signatures. You never see a committee man there, but you, when's the last time you saw a committee man on the ballot? You
don't. People don't even know what it is.
Because
no,
they make sure
you never see it
happen. And what they do and what they've done is the boss, what's his name, John? The guy that runs, that supposedly runs this thing, the top guy.
Yeah, every county has a committee chairman. They're kind of the bosses,
right.
The political bosses, and then there's the state level, the state chairman.
So what he's doing is he's appointing those people into positions. That's not the way it's supposed to be. And they're not elected then. They're appointed. And they've changed some wording in the rules that says they're, you know, they're walking papers in order to be appointed at the first meeting. Well, that's not the way. They're not supposed to be appointed because they're supposed to be elected. And if they were elected, then the parties couldn't fire them. Like, if you don't want to carry somebody's papers, they can fire you. But an actual committee man that's been elected, how do you get rid of an elected official? You can't get rid of, you can't fire them. They're not fireable. That's how you know they're not elected. And so they call them members of the county committee, and they change some magic words and stuff. So nobody knows that it exists. But we've had people come into areas and take over by running committeeman papers. And they don't ever stop you because you can show in the law where it exists. They end up having to deal with you. If you get enough people to do that, you can actually take over the party. You know,
well, the key thing is taking over the courts in order to take over that whole process. And we do have a plan to show the people how we can do this in literally one election cycle. We could take the entire United States back if we have enough people working with us. And we only need maybe a half a dozen people in each state in order to accomplish that goal. But going back into one of the most...
Wait. No, you can't say that.
Okay.
All right, I got to jump in because... No, you can't say that and then, like, not give us the punchline. But I want to just point out that, okay, you're saying, first of all, Gerard, you're saying that people aren't running for committee man because they don't know it exists, okay? So instead it's appointed, all right? And that is already corrupt because it shouldn't be appointed. It should be an elected position, all right, that we barely, that nobody knows even exists, that committeemen should be the people that interview the people running for office to pretty much decide that they're fit to run for office.
Correct.
And right.
And anybody who puts that person in position, that person that was put into position, owes their existence in that process to that person. So if it's the people
right.
in the election district that put you into it, then those are the people you answer to, and the people you have to satisfy. And if people understood that this kind of a position actually existed, that they would go looking for it to make sure they get someone that's going to represent, really our common goal, really, which is the Constitution. And that's the
key. That's so important.
You know?
It is key. And let me jump in here now. So then, John, you said, well, we have a plan. We have a way, you know, where we can basically turn this around with a half dozen people in each state.
Correct.
And then you were going to go somewhere else. No, you have to tell us.
You want to know how,
eh? You can't just like, no, that's
okay,
a cliffhanger.
Okay, well, let me briefly give you an understanding on how this works. As Gerard said, you know, first of all, you got to understand that the Republican Party and the Democrat Party is a private association. Let me repeat that. It's a private association. It's a company, a corporation. It's owned by a small group of people that control the whole process. And those are the party bosses. And so when people think that they're voting people in on the lower end, for instance, for elective office to be put onto the ballot, the whole thing's, is a lie and it's hidden. And all the accounting, usually the accounting is done private also. And so it's done behind closed doors. But how we take it back is this. We originally started in the committeeman thing here back at about 2008, and as we were going through the process and trying to get power and teaching people the process, we were finding we're having a lot of problems with the people that already had the power. To take the reins away from them, those unelected people, was near impossible. So we had to take it into the courts. So we had to learn how the court system worked in order to do that. And so,
can I jump in here,
John? And I'm going to tell you how the half a dozen people. But go ahead.
I want to hear about that.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I'm going to get
but
to
I
that.
Just,
you have to hear
okay,
this part
I want,
first.
Wait. Give me one second. I want to hear that part too. I'm just saying. Can you just let us know what that was? That okay? You met problems when you were trying to find out about the committeemen. They were already appointed. And you wanted to, you know,
we
get
wanted
involved
to take
with that.
Back the power and the authority back to the people. And
it was
a
like,
constitution.
No, you can't,
huh?
Because even though that's supposed to be elected position,
right?
You were told you can't.
Well,
you can't
at,
what get it back
at,
into an electional process.
We
or?
The people have been frustrated for a long time looking at our federal government, and who has, you know, people have taken over. The servant has taken over the House. And we've been trying to get these people out of office. We've had Obama, we had the Clintons, we had the Bushes, and it goes on. And we get very frustrated because they've got their hands on the power, on the controls, and we're trying to take it away from them. And how are we doing it? Thank God Trump came in, and he had the ability to do it working with military intelligence.
Mm-hmm.
Now, here we are. We're trying to take it back, so we go into the courts. We find out that the courts are corrupt, so we take it into the federal courts. We find out the federal courts are corrupt. And then at that point in time, I look at it that God fed us a little something. He threw to us United States versus Williams, which is the process by which, you know, we the people can take back control of the grand jury and the trial juries, and thereby our judicial process, which we'll talk about maybe in a little while. But
well,
going back to
Justice
the six
Scalia,
people.
Right?
Huh?
Yes. And you're talking about the court case with Justice Scalia, right?
Correct.
And we're going to get
Justice
into that
Anton
later.
Justice Anton Scalia in 1992,
okay.
I believe it was. But anyway, we the six people, how we've come up to this is in New York, we started to teach this to people, and we pulled together a convention of all the people who became elected committeemen throughout the entire state. And it wasn't that many. It was only a couple dozen, maybe three dozen or so. And we pulled our when we came together in a convention, we came together Democrats and Republican in order to bury the hatchet and get rid of this bickering, that Washington spoke about. So we together, both parties worked together to frame out new party rules, which empowered the people, and not the party leaders. It took down the committee powers of those chairmen. They had no more power or authority than anyone else sitting at that table, and they could be replaced at any given time by just a motion on the floor, and if as long as there was enough people at the meeting, you took a vote, and you can change the chairman at any given time. So he or she is no one special. But in any event, we did do this, and so we created new party rules, which are ready to be put in place, and we'll share it with all the other states that maybe, you know, we can get involved in this at some point in time, and they can get together their rules, but we'll give them a framework of what we put together and how and why we put it together the way we did. But that's a whole new subject also. Mm-hmm. But anyway, here's the fact and the truth of the matter. If there is only one elected committeeman in the entire state, let's take New York because that's where I'm from, if the entire mm-hmm. state of New York has one elected committeeman, that one elected committeeman has the authority to fill all the seats throughout the entire state until the next wow. election comes up. Okay?
Huh.
So
okay.
We figure, you know, usually the committee chairs are filled in, the leadership chairs are filled in with between 4 to 6 people. You know, there is the chairman, the co-chairman, the secretary, the treasurer, and maybe one or two others. So we figure half a dozen. We can get away with one if we have to. But, you know, it's good to have people with you when you're going to go walking into the battle here. And yeah. So 6 people can literally take control of the entire state. We can walk into the state meeting, take control of the state meeting. We can let the people know that new leadership has taken control and you've been had all this time, just like we have, and they've been ripping you off. And, you know, tell them the truth. Explain what's really going on. Anybody interested in participating, we will appoint you, and over the process of time, teach you how to become an elected committeeman so you take a more equal seat with, you know, whatever group of people took over. And be honest about it. And bring it back to the people, where the people actually get to decide. But you see, you can't have this without an education, and that is the key to this whole thing. The whole purpose of National Liberty Alliance is teach people how to have consent of government. In the Declaration of Independence, it talks about that we have government by consent. So how do you have government by consent? Well, you have to control the political process, and you have to control the judicial process. Those are the two power points here in America, and we the people do not control either of them. So first off, we have to teach people the Constitution. We did create a course, by the way, and the name of that course is found on our website, nationallibertyalliance.org. If you highlight free courses, you'll see government by consent. And if you click on government by consent, you know, you read a little bit of information about what this course is about. And this course will teach people everything they need to know concerning the political process, the judicial process, how the courts work, what is law, what is liberty, the difference between a republic and a democracy, and give them all the necessary, you know, education and, you know, the tools necessary in order to take this nation back. You can't require...
Can I jump in here, John?
Sure.
I know you... I mean, please, I appreciate you letting me get in here. Okay, so... I know I've been anticipating this because you have been putting this together for a long time. And what are you guys charging for this course?
Well, you know, this is, we give all our courses for free. This one here, we're going to require people to be, you know, to donate, to support us financially. So we're asking people, they could decide what they want to give. We're asking people to give us $5 a month or more, and that's $60.
Okay.
And we asked them to take a commitment for 2 years, so that's 60 times 2 over the course of 2 years, it's $120. But nobody has to come with, you know, out of the pocket money, you know, $100 or anything, $5. It's just a cup of coffee and a donut
yeah.
You give up once a month, you know?
I know, you're so generous there. I mean, you're pointing that out like it's like, heaven forbid I ask for money.
Yeah, well, we feel
this is an amazing thing.
Knowledge people should be freely given. But we have
to
keep the lights on.
Well, they should be, but they aren't.
Yeah.
And the thing is, you can pay for, you know, a $20,000 charter school. You're still never going to get your kid to learn about civics.
Right.
And so
right.
As adults, we paying $5 a month to get a government by consent course to actually understand how our government truly works, what our rights truly are. What they tell you on CNN is a lie. Mm-hmm. You know what they what they're telling you is a lie. We don't ever hear about the reality that we're supposed to be so involved with our government that, you know, nearly, you know, every citizen who's capable should be part of what is going on in their local governments. And yet, no, hardly any are. Hence
and
the
even the people, even the people who have good intentions and want to do good things, they have no understanding of the Constitution. They have no understanding of what true liberty is. They don't understand the difference between a democracy and a republic. You know, democracy is nothing more, I believe it was Benjamin Franklin put it this way, it's nothing more than mob rule. And a republic is ruled by law. You know, so if you want a mob rule where everyone can decide and take another person's unalienable rights away, you know, in a republic, one person can stand against the entire population on the law, and it should hold up, you know.
Right.
And that's, well, that's the difference between a republic and a democracy. We choose.
Well, and in my opinion, this is also the difference between our democracy and what could possibly be happening with outside influences coming in to undermine it and to change it into something else.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not putting this in your mouth, but, you know, I'm alarmed about the fact that we have, you know, the new appointment of, you know, two Muslim candidates in Minnesota and Michigan who both support, you know, female genital mutilation, right. support.
Well, they would have no power or authority in a nation of law. And if the people were in control, we can prevent all of that. This is nothing to fear. Our founding father spoke about Christian values and morality, and that this nation was created underneath the Christian values, and that, you know, ultimately it's God who is supposed to be the king of our court. We're to represent righteousness. We're to have courts of justice. And as long as the people understand that and could be educated and understand the difference when something comes up, to hear it and to know, no, that's wrong and this is right, well, then we can allow anyone, whether they could be an atheist, they could be a Muslim, they could be anything they want. It doesn't matter. As long as they're willing to obey the Constitution, which is the first test, which is to get them onto the ballot, and to make sure that they know the Constitution. Once they get in there, there are ways to take them out if they become problematic. Anything they do that's unlawful, in any unlawful way, we can indict them and remove them from office. In a political sense, if they're a problem, they could be called down to the principal's office. That would be the committee man. The committee chairman would call them in and say, "Hey, look, you know, you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing. We put you in there as a statesman, and here you are going doing this, that, or the other thing. We want you to stop that." And believe me, they will stop it, because they get their power from that individual, from that group of individuals. And if they disobey, they can recall them. Within 90 days, they could be setting up a new vote to bring someone else in. And that's the process. That's government by consent. You know, we the people consented, first of all, when we ordained and established this Constitution for them. We are above the Constitution. They are below the Constitution. We wrote the law for them. We're under the common law, which is part of our Constitution. You find that in the Bill of Rights. But particularly, the Constitution as a whole was to chain down the government and bring them under the rule of the people. So that's the first place we consent. Now, we have to have the power and the ability to force them to be obedient when they come out of obedience. And we've been relying to some degree on the Constitution to enforce itself. That's not going to happen. So you turn around, you say, well, okay, maybe Congress will enforce, they can impeach, they can do different things. It's the Senate that does the impeachment. But they can do the right thing, which is another problem, you know, who controls the Senate. But in any event, they can get rid of them through impeachment. But they're not doing it. They're not going to do it. It's up to we the people. We the people, the true consenters, we can say enough is enough. We don't care about any of the things that you're going to do or not do. We don't care that you're not going to go out there, or you are going to go out there to impeach. We're taking them out. Just bring an indictment against them, and they're out of there. Or do a recall, and they're out of there. We got it from the political side, and we got it from the judicial side. The problem is the people don't know about this. The people don't have this power and authority, and it's controlled by, the wolf himself. They control the whole process. Have the party bosses, and they go through all of the states, every county. There's a party boss, and they owe their allegiance to the person above them, and so on and so forth, all the way across. Favors are taking place in these processes. There's all kinds of things going on, jobs being bidded, all kinds of monies being spent by the local government, the state government, the federal government. Well, where do you think a lot of this stuff's going to? These party bosses are all involved in getting a piece of the action here. Who's going to get the state highway contract, you know, when vehicles break down on the highway? Believe me, it's all favors. Once in a while, someone may get in there not through a favor, but generally speaking, it's all favors. And we can dismantle and get rid of all of that. But we do have a plan to do that. But people must be educated. And again, that gets us back to our course. We have a course that one course that we're asking people to donate in order to be part of it. We also offer free access to that court, to that course, for anyone who can't afford the $5. They can just call Jan. There's a phone number and an email address. And let it be known that I'm on limited income, Social Security or whatever, and I just haven't got that $5. Well, we'll let them in because we want everyone to have this education. But we're going to cover how liberty got lost. We're going to cover government by consent. We're going to talk about our Constitution, the systematic destruction of America. We're going to cover law and what sovereignty is and the republic, the difference between law and equity, the rudiments of rudimental precepts, two meanings. When law has two meanings, what's to happen then at that point? And it shouldn't have two meanings. But we're going to cover a lot of things going into the history, the jury, the unfettered jury, grand jury, trial jury, the history of the county sheriff, the powers, the authorities, his education, the Declaration of Independence, the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, the political process, the judicial process, all of these things, court access, how to get into a court. People need to know all this, and they can get it all in one place in this one course.
Wow. Okay, I'm going to jump in. That's incredible, folks. I'm in. I hope you're in too. That's an amazing thing. And it's not just amazing for your own education. Like, we're literally living through an election fraud scenario right now. And that's only one end of it. That's only one small part of it. Folks, go to nationallibertyalliance.org, sign up for the government by consent course, because literally for $5 a month, you're going to get the ability to know what the heck you never were taught about how to run the government from a local perspective. We are supposed to be the ones running our country. And instead, they've tried to convince us that there's a top-down scenario where we're just supposed to vote, half knowing anything with zero education. For these people that do CNN ads, it's ridiculous. So what I want to jump into here is, okay, I'm really obsessed here with what's going on with, Broward County and the voter fraud, and the fact that Brenda Snipes, the election board, director, is completely already been charged with felony. Like, she's completely, like, so criminal. And this is what I'm hoping you can do, and I don't know if you can, John, but what I'm hoping is, could you, like, what we have now, okay, is an election board, okay, we have an election situation in Broward County where it is so corrupt, where they're hiding, okay, you just said it's supposed to be transparent, they're hiding all of their results, they're not letting even Matt Gaetz, okay, an elected congressman, he can't get in there. They literally almost arrested him, okay, for trying to be a witness to the counting, the recount. And this is that's absolutely criminal right there. That is unbelievable. And then on top of that, there's zero transparency. Nobody can know anything. The only thing we can know is that this woman has literally been subject to 12 counts of fraud documented. And also, what I'm hoping you can provide is, what would the opposite look like?
Well, first of all, let me give you some comfort. And what we have to really understand, in order to be free, you have to be morally minded, you have to have principles, and so on. And when you're taught under these things, you also develop patience. And patients, you know, when you have patients, you can really evaluate what's going on and understand and make a plan. And so we all have to get some patience here. We have to remember what Q said. He said this numerous times, and recently Q said it. They and of course, Q is a group of people, we're sure. Military intelligence. He said, never disturb the enemy while they're busy destroying themselves. Look, this is a play going on. It's all being recorded. All of these people involved, I think, by the end of this month, because that's what the anticipation is. I don't know that it's going to happen by the end of the month, but I feel everybody else feels it's pretty strong it's going to happen by the end of the month. Q seems to suggest it's going to happen by the end of the month, right here in November. So what's going to happen is going to be mass arrest. These people are all going to be in jail anyway. They're not going to be able to serve their offices or serve the people they're trying to put into office. I wouldn't worry too much about it. And what's going to happen in the end results is you're going to end up with a lot of empty seats, and the Republican seat's going to be more heavily swayed, and therefore, you know, we're going to get a lot of work accomplished while we're busy going back on special elections to refill those political vacancies. And so take care of itself on its own. Now, the way it should have been, huh?
Good. All right. That's what I want to hear.
Yeah,
We
went up to Albany, Gerard and I, back some years ago, and we were trying to figure out and understand what was going on and get into the real law. And we wanted to go back to the law to see when the law changed. Everything changed between 1909 and 1911. Okay, well, we saw that the law there was minimum to begin with, and there was a lot of good things in there for the election process, and all of that stuff disappeared in 1911. All of that law changed, they rewrote all the statutes, and they added like four, five times, maybe even more than six, seven times more the volume of law within a two-year period from 9 to 11. And
do you think this is like Fed-related, probably?
Huh?
You think it's Fed-related, probably?
Oh, there's a conspiracy that reaches down into every state and every county. It's huge. It's humongous. Mm-hmm. And the corruption goes all the way down. It's all about payola. People are getting paid off. People are getting contracts, business deals. All kinds of things are happening. It's all political favors. But anyway, when we went down and we got a hold, matter of fact, we got a copy of this. I believe we have it up on our website. If it's not up on the website, we will get it up on the political thing side of things. We're focusing mostly on the judicial side because in order to take over the political process and give it back to the people, we first have to take control of our courts. And that's why we're spearheading through the process of the grand jury administrators. But anyway, we found out that there is a very specific process, laid out detail way of an election to take place. When I was running, I was talking a little early, we were running a voting place in Poughkeepsie, New York, to elect our representatives for the Continental Congress. And that was happening across the entire nation. Few people know about that. We tried to get the word out as best we can. It went through the Liberty groups. Those were the people who got involved and came out to vote in this process. And so we voted in our representatives. In the process of voting, at the end of the day, people were invited to come for the counting of the vote. And they would be able to come. People came, and we had a process. One person would pick up, open up, or turn over the vote, record the name of the vote, what it is, okay? A person would be
last
behind.
John Gerard, are you there?
Am I still here?
Yeah, you blipped out.
Okay, anyway, where did I stop? At the counting of the vote?
Yeah, right there, yep.
Okay, so one person would open the vote up and read the vote who it was for, okay? A person would stand behind that person. We did it this way, by the way. A person would stand behind that person opening the vote and acknowledge the fact by the shaking of the head, that's what it says. Then the person over the other side of the table would record the vote, and a person was standing behind them. And they would nod their head, yes, it was recorded correctly. And this goes all the way through the whole process, and then the actual counting of the vote and the acknowledgement by individuals observing it. They're called the observers. And there's more than one observer should be in the process. One is a hired observer, okay? And the other one is the committee man himself for that election district. He too, or she too, is an observer. And they should be observing and certifying the fact that these votes were counted correctly. I witnessed this, and they certify it, swear under the penalty of law that this took place. And all of that becomes part of the process and the counting of the votes. And then there's another process of moving these votes collectively to be collected as far as the numbers are concerned. But they're recorded openly at that point. And anybody should be able to get into that to see the certified votes being counted, and you can count them yourself. They try to make a big thing. Oh, it's too difficult. Oh, we got machines. No, we want the difficulty. We don't care if it takes 2 or 3 hours to stand at the polls after they close to observe. And anybody could watch. People need to be invited. There should be a crowd standing around watching and observing also. Okay, but you see, none of these things can take place if people don't do it in an orderly fashion. They don't know how to do it and what to do it if there's no plan. You can't have government by consent if you don't know how government operates and what their powers and authorities are. That's the Constitution. You can't have liberty unless you understand what liberty is. And this is a big one. You know, what is the real meaning of liberty? You know, people will say it's freedom to do this or freedom to decide that. But the, you know, liberty in itself is freedom from all law except the laws of nature. That's what liberty is. Means they cannot legislate any law to control our behavior. It doesn't matter what it is. If we get, as Jefferson said, I'd rather be troubled by too much liberty than not having enough at all. Okay? And Benjamin Franklin said something similar to that. The bottom line is let's deal with the problems of liberty and let's create unique ways of dealing with problems that may come out. For instance, you may have someone driving drunk and you don't have a statute against that, but obviously that's putting people in danger. Well, we can come up with an idea for that. You know, a police officer should stop that person if they establish that they can't drive that vehicle. Well, then they should take that person, drive them home, take the keys away from them, have the vehicle towed at their expense, and drop the keys off at the courthouse. And let the grand jury, when they come together, may not be together for days or weeks, but when they come together, that's when you can get your keys back. Go talk to them. And then they can make certain requirements, see if you're a constant offender by driving drunk or whatever the case may be. Maybe they should require that you do some community service to really get you into your brain, to knock it into your brain. You shouldn't be doing this. We could be creative that way. We don't need government legislation to control our behavior.
I'm going to interject here. Thank you, goodness. I'm going to get you to repeat that a lot in the next few minutes. But this is an interesting point that you've talked to me about before, where, we weren't intended to have these giant jails and giant systems whereby people were retained for minor crimes or whatever. I think it's very interesting because, of course, we have the jail industrial complex that's now traded on the stock market. Of course, you need prisoners if you're going to make money on jails. And so this is a Hillary Clinton thing, a big Clinton money maker. And, you know, the reality was that back when our Constitution happened, but also after that, we were supposed to be that crimes were supposed to be meted out with that you give back for whatever you've done, right? So if you stole something from somebody, you were supposed to be fined, you're going to pay them back. This thing about jailing is a very...
restitution is the key to common law. You know, look, we go back to the biblical principles. You know, if you steal a man's ox, you got to give him back 4, okay? That's the penalty. And we can use that kind of an idea to deal with restitution of individuals when they're injured. If you're injuring society, then yeah, you should give back to society in the sense, volunteer time. Jail should be the last thing. And look, if people, don't show up to take care of repaying back to society or to individuals that they've injured, when you catch them again, you can put a boot on them. You can know exactly where they're at. You don't have to put them into a jail. The common law doesn't even know jails, okay? A jail is only for the sole purpose of violent actions and violent things where you have to hold the individual till you get them to court. Then the court can decide, the people decide whether to hold them or not, and then whether they need to incarcerate this person to separate them from society. The death penalty was the main thing to deal with this. I mean, that sounds alarming to people. But look at, when you get a true court that's acting just and under with a sense of honor, justice and mercy, looking for the truth, trying to understand what can we do to fix the, first of all, is the person guilty? Second of all, what can we do to fix the problem, and what can we do to repair the individual or individuals that have been injured? And when you got 12 people finally getting together after they've listened to everything in the case, and you got 12 minds sitting down, figuring out, negotiating, you know, what they understand, back and forth, and, you know, one person thinks they're innocent, another person thinks they're guilty, and they say, well, you know, this happened, that happened, oh, I forgot about that, you're right. And when you look at, they work it out. That's what a jury is supposed to do. And at the end, mm-hmm. you can trust the jury, because if one person holds out and they can't get agreement across the board, at some point, the jury has to decide for themselves, we're not going to get any further. We can't go anywhere. We have to acquit, because there is no other choice. And you can't set, you can't bring them into double jeopardy. That's what the double jeopardy clause is in our Bill of Rights. You can't retry them again because you think that the first jury didn't do a good enough job. The United States Supreme Court has ruled on this numerous times. Their decision is final. It's as if we have made it. They made it. We can't even change it. It is what it is. Now, mm-hmm. you know, of course, there are situations where maybe someone was convicted and the evidence looked really, really bad and they looked guilty and it turns out they wasn't. And maybe there's, you know, what do they call that, a DNA that they could look into and prove innocence or guilt. Well, you bring it back to the jury. What's the big deal? And even if you can't get the original jury, you know, you can pull a jury together for the sole purpose of looking at that and setting that person free if they need to be set free. We the people, this is what we the people's job is. There is not supposed to be any political animals inside of a courtroom other than, first of all, the judge who wears the hat of a magistrate. And you know, you go into Black's Law, you go into listen to decisions from the Supreme Court, the United States Supreme Court. All judges are magistrates. So if they're mm-hmm. if they're arguing in equity, they can sit and make a decision, and they are the jurist, the one and sole jurist of the. But then there's an appellate process. But if it is now a court of law, which is a court of justice under nature, okay, then at that point, it's the people who decide, and that individual is just sort of a traffic cop trying to help things keep along, keeping in order, and being the person to put the seal and the signature at the end. This is the decision of the jury. You got the jury foreman, and you got the magistrate, and the seal is put on. This is the decision, and it's forever. And no one can, you can't appeal a decision of a jury. Now, if you see that someone's unalienable rights were violated in that process, that's appealable, but only that part of the process. Unless it poisons the entire case, then that's a different story. So that's the only time they can look into an appeal. That's why a lot of these cases, when I see these appeals going on, I'm wondering what the heck's going on, because you can't appeal it. They try to appeal the case on some mistake or error that the jury has made. That's not possible. Okay, and it's not likely that a jury of 12 people understanding what they're doing, realizing that this person's life in jeopardy. Yeah, you may have someone who has no conscience that happens to get onto a jury, but the other 11 will keep them in line. We can trust the jury. You know, the witnesses of 12, that's a principle set up by the Bible, the 12 tribes of Israel in the mm-hmm. Old Testament, the 12 apostles in the New Testament. All of this is laid out for us, but it all requires knowledge. People now have a little more knowledge by listening to this program, to the things that we're talking about. But you need to have the full knowledge, and you don't. It's not. You don't need to be a rocket scientist to understand this. This is fascinating stuff. It's interesting. It involves you. It concerns the liberty of yourself and your posterity. We should all be involved.
Okay. So, what is the best thing that people can do immediately to be involved?
Yeah. Look at. Whatever it is you're doing, you should continue doing. We don't want people to stop doing whatever it is that they're doing. But people should get educated. And they should do whatever they're doing and take that and bring it behind us as National Liberty Alliance to form an alliance of pressure to take our courts back and an alliance of pressure to take our political process back. And that's what people should want, because that's going to empower everyone at every level anywhere. One of the things we're looking for, and this is good for someone who's just coming into looking for a career, or someone looking to change a career, or even midway in life and decide they want to do something different than what they're doing. It doesn't matter. And that is, we're opening up positions, 15,000 positions roughly across this nation. We need four people to become jury administrators in every single county. And it's a paid position, a full-time position. It'll pay somewhere between, you know, it depends on experience. And, of course, you know, it'll be on-the-job training, plus this course is a required course in order to take that position. But it'll pay somewhere between maybe starting salary, and again, depends on your experience and when you come in, somewhere between $40,000, $45,000, maybe to $85,000 a year. So it'll be a nice, decent salary. It'll also be a job that would be very rewarding. You're going to be involved with the people, involved with justice and mercy and righteousness, solving problems. You know, the administrators are the investigative body for the grand jury. They're also the body that opens the door up for the grand jury to actually go out into the streets and investigate in an office here or someplace there, look into the dealings of an agency or whatever. The administrator, one of the prime jobs is the dealing with problems that people bring to them and giving people access, direct access to their jury. They're the grand jury. I want to go and make a complaint and talk to the grand jury. Well, they should have access to that. They should not be denied. But the administrators could first say, well, let's see what we could do about maybe solving the problem first. And, you know, and they can make the phone call to the agency, speak to the individual, fix the problem, and everyone could become happy, and you solve the problem. And people are happy, and you're getting government by consent. Here's where individuals in the streets coming in and being, you know, bullied around or ignored by their servants, bureaucrats here, and they can come down and talk to the administrators, and they can fix it and require their obedience to this person who's your master. Because we the people are the masters, and the bureaucrats, they are the servants. Well, they've turned the place upside down, and they think they're the masters and required us to be servants. And remember, if you're subject to any legislated law by Congress or by any local agency of any kind, legislative, state legislation, they even have county legislation. If you're subject to that, you're slave to them. Because they can change that, and they will change that as time goes on. They have violated every single unalienable right we have. You can go right down in the Bill of Rights alone, and you can find just about every one of them is ignored. We can change that around, but the people have to first starts with an education. Jefferson said the people must. They must. They cannot rule themselves unless they have a proper education. This is that proper education. I tell you, with all my heart and soul, I know of none other. I don't know anybody anywhere doing anything to educate the people the way we're doing it, both politically and judicially, or even singularly. Nobody is teaching this to people. We have it. We have a course for it, and we'll have a book coming out. Hopefully, the book will be done around Christmas time.
Wow. And folks, literally, it's $5 a month. I mean, for everybody, there's so much of, you know, now that we're all in this age where we're pretty much everybody's left mainstream media, you know, for the most part, a lot of people that will be listening to this have left mainstream media, and they're looking for alternatives. They're looking for the things that they're not getting from what we're supposed to be getting with our tax dollars. They're not getting any more. And in fact, our tax dollars are just being used against us pretty much across the board with a few exceptions. And so instead, we have to use our funds to support the things that actually are going to keep our republic alive, restore the republic, and also defeat the interests that want to enslave us in a globalist, fascist cabal system. And this is one of those things, folks. I 100% suggest that you go ahead and spend $5 a month to join the government by consent course that they're putting up now at nationallibertyalliance.org. The thing is, we don't have tons of other choices. Literally, for $5 a month, we can learn how to run our government. Isn't that crazy?
That's a cup of coffee and a bagel. Give it up once a month. You'll have one coffee, bagel, once a month.
It's such, and for a lot of people, that is an important $5, and I don't discount that, but I do want to say to the people especially that $5 a month is so important, is that those are the voices we probably need the most. You know, we need people that are so disenfranchised by the current system to get active. We really, really do. Because the reality is that the intention is to disenfranchise everybody through this this Hollywood pretend government that we have that is not being run at all as our constitutional republic. And so what I want to get back to here now, John, is and to say to everybody, please go to nationallibertyalliance.org. Please sign up for this great course. And they have a bunch of free courses. And they have a Monday night.
Let me
night.
Talk a little bit about that. You know, we do have other courses, and everything on our site is free. I mean, we don't hide anything from anyone. They come on, they don't become a member. You pretty much see pretty much everything that everyone else sees. You may not see our NLA store, and you may not see the tab with the grand jury. Once you become a member, those two tabs become available. I think that's how we set it up. But we don't really hide much of anything. Our education is up there, whether you become a member or not, as far as, you know, an extended education. If you want to take any of our free courses, you do have to become a member, but you don't have to be a paid member. The only one that requires at least $5 a month or more is the government by consent course. Now, we have a course on civics. And that course on civics, it's 120 hours of video and audio, and it's really an exciting, powerful course, because if people want to understand how we got to where we're at, the mess that we're in, this course explains it to them. If you want to know what American history, true American history is, this course will show it to you. You want to know about common law, this course will give you an introduction to that. You want to know about the court systems, this course will give you an introduction to that. It'll give you an introduction to the committee man process. All of the things that we're doing. So that's one course we give. It's free. We also have a Constitution course, which I think we're going to shut that course down once this course totally opens up. People already taken that course, they'll be able to finish it, but we may shut it down only because the government by consent course is going to cover the Constitution, all three documents, plus the Magna Carta. So we'll have the Declaration of Independence, the Bill of Rights, the Constitution itself, and the Magna Carta to look at in depth, far further in depth than we did in the other course. But anyway, we also have an extended education. If you go to our education tab, you can go and get a copy of all of the founding documents. You can get a copy of the Federalist Papers, the Anti-Federalist Papers. We have that in audio. That's a place to study. You know what those, the Federalist Papers do is it's the debate that put together our Constitution. Go listen to the debate and to understand clearly that the words mean exactly what they say. There's nothing magic about it. You don't need to try to have some kind of a formula to understand it. It's written in common sense before the common person. The Anti-Federalist Papers was concerned with too much power for the federal government, and that what came about of that was the Bill of Rights. So both of these debates in written form and in audio should be listened to. We've got biographies up there on our site. Goodness, this tab keeps moving on me. Hang on. yeah, we've got biographies. I think we have George Washington. We have Benjamin Franklin, Thomas Jefferson. We have autobiographies. We have some state constitution. We're trying to get them all up there. We have essays and lectures, okay? Great essays and lectures. We have one of the greatest professors, Thomas Woods, teaching American history through lectures, series of lectures. I think it's 20 lectures. We have common law lectures. We have trial by jury essay by Lysander Spooner, written back in the 1850s. You know, this is an expanded education. If you want to go beyond what we're showing you in the course that we give, that every American and every person, every child in school coming out of the eighth grade should be able to master everything in that book, okay? And our educational system is a mess. You know, you go back into the, look at the test. We do have a test that we'll have in the book, and we'll probably have the test inside of our course. A test that was taken by eighth graders back in 18, I forget what year. That test is easily a college level test.
Wow,
you know, back
isn't
in those
crazy?
Days, eighth grade level was a college level today. And
see, that's
and
important.
Even people who have, you know, went through college said that there's things in there they can't answer. So what's wrong with us? You know, I sent my son to a private school for a couple of years, then we started homeschooling him. And but in that process of time, and he went in through kindergarten, first grade, and second grade. Third grade, we were teaching him home. He was already above the eighth grade level through his education through a private school. Anybody could be taught. We hold our children back. They're busy indoctrinating them and teaching them things that serve them so that they get an obedient servant to them in opposed to a free individual that can take control of their own life.
I'm going to jump in here. You know, we know that public education was designed to create, you know, socially engineered, you know, workers for the elite. That's literally what it was. And it started in Germany. That was only one manifestation, but it came to America full force. We have these multiple foundations, Rockefeller Foundation, the Carnegie Foundation, all these foundations held up as, you know, these amazing benefactors that give this and that to the National Endowment of Humanities, blah, 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 to create these great educational things. And what we know is it's a bunch of bunkum, and it gets worse and worse each year as more and more of our real rights, our real history gets taken out of public education. And even in college now, we know we have a basically mental health problem going on in our college system here, where we're getting complete craziness taught to people regarding how to deal with their approach to social life, to political life. It's so crazy. But the reality is that this is funded by big dollars, big business, and researched by huge social engineering, massive, you know, psychological sciences, to how do they get the best results with giving the money to the people that are going to have the best, they're going to do the best with sharing their insights to the collegiate world. And this, of course, trickles down into our public systems, where we get now transgender, you know, education going on in public schools that started as pretty much deconstructionism back in the 1980s. You know, so 40 years later, you're getting these things coming into our public school systems that were put into, you know, the whispers of colleges through pretty much social engineering think tanks that came out of the Council on Foreign Relations and yada yada, Tavistock Institute. And so, folks, this is a constant onslaught. You know, what we have from our Constitution lays it out clear. You know, what you get from going to National Liberty Alliance lays it out clear. It's our law, our common law. And actually, what I want to get into now is you folks have been able to actually launch some pretty important lawsuits recently.
And we have a huge one coming up. We're preparing to file soon, which is the one that we planned on from day one when we opened up National Liberty Alliance for the first time. And we started focusing in towards the judicial problems to take control of our judiciary. So we're now writing it took everything that we had to kind of bring us to a position, lay things out, create the prerequisites in order to prepare for this particular case. We are going up with a lawsuit. We're writing a lawsuit against the entire federal judiciary, all 94 Wow. federal districts. We also, as we researched and looked into this, we discovered that we had no choice. We had to bring all the parties involved in. And so Wow. it requires that we also sue the United States Supreme Court. They're aware of everything that's going on. They could have or should have fixed this problem a long time ago. Maybe they got guns to the head and they can't, but we'll understand that. Nevertheless,
explain it to the people that don't know what you mean.
I'm sorry.
Oh, sorry. Explain it to the people that don't understand what you mean. Kind of a broader, if you could.
On the lawsuit?
Give it like a broader view here so that people understand.
Well, first of all, you've got to understand who we're suing. We have to sue every judge, every chief judge,
Why?
And every judge underneath them, because they're all partners in concealing courts of justice. You cannot get access to a court of justice anywhere in America. You cannot open up what's called a court of record. A court of record is a court run by the people, with no outside interference by government. They don't. The only thing they do is obey the order of the court. That's all they do.
So John, you're literally suing them for the fact that you can't do constitutional law.
Correct. You can't. You're not getting constitutional law to a degree. I mean, you are getting some because the USCs, for instance, the United States codes, the titles. There's a total of 54 titles, okay? Of the 54 titles, half of them, 27 of them, is what's called positive law, okay? Positive law is just a fancy way of saying human-made law, legislated law. That's what it is. That law sits and is it ruled on inside the federal courts, so each one of those 27 USC titles has its own jurisdiction, okay? And it may be maritime jurisdiction. It may be, people becoming citizens, I forget what they call that. It might be probate. There's different titles for different law. Now, all that's fine because we've vested Congress with the power and the authority to create these courts under Article 1, Section 8 of our United States Constitution, Constitution for the United States. So we've given them that authority. But that has nothing to do with we the people, okay? They've extended that one beyond that. There are 27 other, USC titles, okay? And that's like regulations and codes. They affect different agencies, okay? So agencies have different codes, regulations that the people who work for those agencies, they're bureaucrats, they're government agents, they're people working at desks, whatever, and they have to follow the regulations, which is the same thing what a corporation does, a large company will do. They have policies and procedures. That's what that is. Inside that system, they have administrative courts, and they operate those administrative courts will deal with the problems that come up when someone violates the regulations within that agency and in that system and how they're going to deal with that person. All of this is great stuff. The problem is they did two things, and we're not sure exactly when they did it. We do know that it came into full effect probably in 1938, between 1938 and 1949, is what they did USC 18, okay? That's maritime law. And inside maritime law, inside USC 18, you find the penal code. Mm-hmm. Now, the penal code was starting to be enforced probably around 1970. It was pretty late in time. I'm kind of surprised it was so late. Before that, people were not brought up in criminal accusations under the federal judicial system. It was 1970 when the legislators wrote in the authority of the U.S. attorneys to be able to call forth a grand jury. And what was the purpose of calling forth a grand jury was to bring criminal, asking for an indictment for criminal activity, what they think is criminal activity. So that started in 1970. So prior to that, there was no way for them to do it. There was no criminal activity. So U.S. 18, which is maritime law, where the penal law is found, is the law of the sea and not the law of the land. How come the lawyers don't know this? How come the judges know this? Federal judges
they do
understand
know it.
That.
Okay, don't you
I
think
know
they
it
know
because
it?
I read it. But few people, no lawyers seem to know this. I've spoken to a lawyer recently who was like, they don't believe it. They had to go look for
well,
themselves.
Well, they don't teach it.
Yeah.
They don't even teach constitutional law at all whatsoever in
well,
law
if you
schools
just go
at
read
all.
US, if you just go read the USC Title 18 and you go look for the jurisdiction, it pops up very quickly. This is maritime law. And there's
you
a lot
can
of
go
fancy
look for
language
it.
They do in there, or we talk about in the course. Now the other thing is civil courts. You know, when we go into a civil court, we're always going into an equity court. These judges take control and make decisions without the jury that we ask for. It's written under USC 28. And USC 28 is for, they put in there for civil cases. It has nothing to do with we the people. And yet, when you go to open a court, if you want to sue someone on a federal level, or you want to move something into the courts for a cause, a constitutional cause from another court, you have to go through their paperwork to fill out a civil process paper. And that mm-hmm. takes away laws of nature and brings you into a statutory argument. And so you're governed by statutes instead of by law. And there's a difference. Mm-hmm. The law that we need to be governed by is the law of the heart, the law that God has put forth. He said that he's written his laws in men's heart, in the hearts of men. And mm-hmm. we all know it. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not kill. To put it just very simply, do no harm. You harm someone, you've committed a crime or an assault against an individual, and this person needs to be restored back to their original state of being. And all of this is lost. People, this is simple stuff, and yet the lawyers don't even know this. They don't understand this. I was taught by a lawyer some stuff, and they said, don't go into the federal courts because, they change jurisdictions as they talk. And it's been my experience, because I started studying these jurisdictions, that I see what they're doing. I understand what they're doing. I can see it. Why? Because I'm aware of it, I read about it, and I know it, and I understand it. But again, I don't want to frighten people away to think that this is, it may seem overwhelming at first glance as we talk about it and you hear about this stuff for the first time, but I want to tell you, it becomes old hat pretty quick. Pretty quick, all of a sudden, if you focus in just to understand things, I never try to remember anything, I just try to understand it. And I find that once you understand it, you'll never forget it, and just rolls off your tongue. It just falls out of your mouth. Like anything else, you take a three-year-old child. I was listening to a conversation of a three-year-old child with a 911 call. They're called 911. They're having a conversation. 3 years old, and I'm realizing this child sounds a lot older than 3 years old. But yeah, maybe it is a three-year-old child.
Can I talk on my own?
But it's a young child, and this child was able to communicate. They learned all this in 3 years. Communicate and deal with situations related to something, make that call, have a conversation, and they didn't have to struggle to know those things. They just were around it to experience it. So anybody that fears education or thinks this is overwhelming, believe me, it's not. It's only simple ABCs. And once you get the ABCs, all of a sudden you're going to see how simple this really was. I remember when I first really could read. I was struggling with it. We did phonics, and then all of a sudden I opened up the book and I just started reading. And I'm sure a lot of people experienced the reading that way. You just all of a sudden it just opened up to you because you were able to connect your ABCs, So anyway,
absolutely.
It's that simple.
Yeah.
You got to do it. Either that or we give up our nation. Because if you're not going to educate yourself and we're not going to take control of this nation, then we don't deserve liberty, and you'll never have liberty. Freedom from legislation, freedom from them to decide what right you may have today, because they call it civil rights. We call it unalienable rights. And there's a huge difference between the two, and they understand it.
Well, we don't necessarily. I do, but you do. Maybe our listeners don't. And so I think if you can, for a few minutes, common law is common law unto all men, right? Founded mm-hmm. upon one simple command, do no harm, as you just said.
Mm-hmm.
But there is literally, that is reality, and people
and
don't understand.
And there's not
understand.
Much more to it. There's not much more to it.
But I just want to say one thing, John, because you're such a great speaker. We've got the reality of people think that what they see on TV is real, what they see on social media is real.
Well, that bubble's about to burst, by the way. Did I lose you?
Well, and thank you so much to John Durash for those amazing. Every time I talk to him, I feel like I have learned what I never learned in school and should have. It's so important that we understand the necessity for knowing civics in our country to save this election, to save ourselves, to save the republic and the 50 republics. We got cut off at the end of that interview. That was Skype cutting us down, shutting us off, and that is what happened there, folks. So I just want to say thank you to John. And people, please go to National Liberty Alliance, sign up for the Government by Consent course. Realize that for $5 a month to support National Liberty Alliance, you can get all of that education for $5 a month. It's an incredible thing. Not only that, they have these live group calls. You can go to nationallibertyalliance.org. There's free courses you can take there, as well as the Government by Consent course. And if you don't have the money, just go ahead and sign up anyway. Tell them you're on a fixed income, and they will let you take the course for free. That's how great these people are. But they do need money to operate, folks. And so dig in there for the people who can. Give more if you can every month. You know, be somebody that can help them get their books published, their legal work done. They have multiple lawsuits going out right now against the Department of Justice, against the State Department, for a massive fraud, okay, and treasonous behavior. So let's support them. And so thank you for listening to You Are Free TV. I want to please ask again, folks, that if you like this show and you want to support the people that make it happen, the volunteers of steampunkradio.com, you can go to steampunkradio.com Patreon page and make a donation. Anything helps. So that's patreon.com/steampunkradio. And that is steam with two E's, okay? And also, folks, if you like You Are Free Radio, you can also just, you can feel free to go to patreon.com/you You Are Free TV and make a donation there for the Patreon support. And Patreons do get some great discounts of You Are Free TV from C60 Purple Power. C60PurplePower.com does sponsor You Are Free TV's work. And as a result, I get 20% off of their products for my patrons on Patreon.com. So if you become a $1 Patreon supporter, you can access 20% off codes for buying your Carbon 60 products, which is, they have just the top, purest form of Carbon 60, totally lab certified, very, very high quality stuff. So thank you so much, folks. You are free. Get out there, be part of the resistance right now. We need to make everybody know that we're not gonna take this lying down, folks. I need to be out in the street protesting this elections. We need to be on the phone with our congresspeople every day, demanding that they do something. We need to be writing the letters to everything. Department of Justice, send Matt Whitaker a letter saying, please do something about this. We are here. We support you. You know, lock her up. You know, arrest these people. Charge Brenda Snipes for complete illegal criminal behavior. So much that we need to do, folks, and we need to help to hold the bigger boys accountable too, such as those at Cloudflare, the people behind the scenes messing with the software, controlling the encryption keys, making it impossible for us to have a free and fair republic the way it's supposed to be. So get involved. Now is the time. We need you. We need every single one of you, folks, because we are free, but we have to act free. And, you know, people that keep their heads down, don't do anything, you know, that's not freedom. That is complicity. And at the very least, it is no way to live, folks. Get out there. Get busy. Fight for your lives. Fight for this republic. And fight for your freedom. It's not free, folks. It takes your participation. All right. Till next time. We'll see you next Wednesday, 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern Time on steampunkradio.com. This is You Are Free Radio. Signing off, folks. You are free.